and welcome to Banter and Chill with your host, Inni Baby. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Banter and Chill podcast. I don't know, I'm holding my mic like this. Just to put it out there that this is already our third take, and we've not even started the episode. For those watching on YouTube, by the way, this is our third take of this video, and it's because my videographer has been doing nonsense since morning. Anyways, I want to say a big welcome to the second episode for season two. If you already listened to the first episode, actually we're recording this one. I'm recording this one the day after the first episode dropped, but you guys probably see this like a week after. So if you listen to the first episode already by now, thank you. I love you. I appreciate you and the support. You can also share if you have not. You can like and subscribe and comment on YouTube. You can follow the podcast on streaming platforms, on listening platforms like AudioMac, Apple Podcasts, blah, blah, blah. Just ensure you follow the podcast as well. Now, if you listen to the first episode, well done, because this is actually a sequel to the first episode. In the first episode, we talked about surviving NYSC with focus on NYSC camp. In this episode, we're going to talk about surviving NYSC, but focus on life after camp. Dun, dun, dun. Now, I'm going to quote something I already said in the previous episode. If you think life in camp is the ghetto, life after camp is the trenches. Life after camp is the slum. So you cannot go and lose guard. You actually need this episode, because it's going to, like the last episode, it will help people relive what it was like to pass through the whole experience. And then it's going to also help people who are about to start their own, you know, learn a thing or two that would help them in their own NYSC year. Now, before we dive into the episode, I want to say a big shout out to Bodicious Music. Now, if you already listened to the last episode, you know that we have a new background sound. This information is actually for people that have been listening from season one, no? Not the newbies that just started listening from season two. But if you just started listening from season two, please go and check out other episodes in season one. But yeah, we had a different background sound in season one. And for season two, my girl Bodicious Music set me up with something nice. So that music you're hearing in the background, for those listening on streaming apps, like listening apps, the music you can hear in the background is actually from Bodicious Music. So big shout out to my girl. Thank you. I love you. Now, that being said, okay, guys, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. If you're seeing this, don't forget to subscribe. And one last thing before we dive in, we're currently accepting guests for season two of the podcast. So if you know that you would like to be my guest, so you can stay and talk and argue and maybe fight, because some of people's opinion is worthy of fighting you over. If you want to fight, please reach out to me on any of my social media platforms, or reach out to the podcast on any social media platforms, and we'll work something out. That being said, let's dive in to this episode on surviving NYSC life after camp. So as I already said in the introduction, if you think life in camp is a ghetto, life after camp is worse than a ghetto. It's probably a slum, it's a trenches, but it's not the same for everybody. Some rich kids like Ayo, I'll never stop calling you out. Some rich kids didn't have to pass through what we non-rich kids had to pass through. But for most, it can be So I did reach out to people and I did send questions. This time around, I was wise enough to collect only text responses. So I reached out to people and I asked them questions about life in camp. Sorry, life after camp and how it was for them. And for some reason, this time around, I got more responses than I did get for the first episode. But like I said, everybody responded with sex. So I have all the responses here. And for every question, I'm just going to be reading out responses, interesting responses I got, and we just talk about them. So first things first, if you redeploy, the first thing you want to do when you go to the new state is to go to your state secretariat for registration. If you already have a PPA waiting for you, go with your request letter alongside everything else. If you do not, after registering in the new state, you just wait for them to like assign a PPA to you. But if you did not redeploy, just be going to your PPA from camp. Just go. And there's a 2-week break period, so you can go home, bring more stuff, because people don't really carry a lot of things to camp. But I think you need to get your PPA first, and then your PPA, you write to your PPA, I think, through local government, through Kinikon. Don't worry, when you get there, you find out. But there's a 2-week break period. You can use to go home, blah, blah, before you come back and actually start life after camp proper. Truth is, life in camp is kind of like, it's still like an incubatory period for you. So when you come out, it's a whole different ball game. They do sensitize you in camp that it's going to be like this or it's going to be like that. But as I said, life in camp can be like, it's like an incubatory period. So you're kind of shielded from the outside world. So when you come out, you now see that, no be so ibio. But let's dive right into the questions I asked. Now, my first question to people was, what is one word you can use to describe how you felt on your last day in camp and why? Iris said, I got multiple responses actually, so I'm just going to read through them. Iris said, the word she could use to describe how she felt is ambivalent. Now, Iris, I don't know what that means, so please explain for us what you mean by ambivalent. Timlane said he was sad because he knew he won't see. No, let me quote, sad. I knew I won't see Kitty for a long time. Who is Kitty? What is a Kitty? A lot of the men that responded to my questions are actually prostitutes because all of them were missing the women in camp. Is that why you were sent there? Is that what they sent you there to do? Huh? Anyways, Cynthia said she was sad because she, let me quote, sad, I didn't make enough friends. The only friend I had was supposed to serve in another state and we both thought we'd stay together. My camp was merged with two other states. Okay. So the day we separated, I looked for her everywhere but couldn't find her, and I'm sure she did the same. It was quite sad. Was I sad that I was leaving camp? I actually felt relieved, but there was a kind of wide-eyed wonder to my relief because it was like, whew, life don't really start to, like, we're going into the next stage. So I kind of felt relieved because I didn't really like camp, so I was happy to be leaving, but I was also hopeful about what I'll meet outside. I did look for one person. It was only one person I went to look for, and it was a man. Because the man was fine, I wanted to collect his number. Glory said for her it was emotional because after getting to meet new people, we'll all go our separate ways. It's true. It's actually true. Kevin, he was like, one word, ecstatic. I mean, seeing those faces of strangers turn friends, babes turn girlfriends, I was excited. Then at night, it dawned on me that I might never come across them again, and I felt sad. It was sad somehow, I'm not going to lie. To realize that even random, maybe like your favorite shopping mommy, you probably never see the person again. Your favorite, what do you call those people? What do you call those people with military uniforms? What should I call them? I can't even remember what they call them because I've been done with this shit for a while. But like, people you actually liked in camp, people you met, you probably not talk to them again. All the people from OBS, I probably kept up only like one or two. So yeah, it was sad if you think about it that way. Senior man Chidi said, sad, I was leaving all the women chasing. Is that what they sent you there to do? Is that why you went to camp? We are curious to know. Mr. Dominic said, at last, the whole 21 days was a scam. Okay, in the first episode, Mr. Dominic already said that the whole 21 days thing is unnecessary. It should be like 1 week. So I can understand why he feels this way. Beverly said, one word I'll use would be emotions. Is it emotions or emotional? But I got emotions here. I didn't want to leave my new friends. I needed more time with them. We still keep in touch though. Oh, good for you, because I never keep up with anyone anymore from camp, which is a very bad character. Try to keep up with your friends. Nonso said, surprisingly sad. It was an experience made better by the characters I met, and I just knew I may never speak to most of them again. So I think something everybody agrees on is that they would miss the people in camp. So the men here will be missing the women, while others will be missing everybody in general. So that was it for question one. What is one word you can use to describe how you felt on your last day in camp? So let's make this fun. If you like any of the questions and you have a response for it, you can look for us on social media platforms and just randomly drop your response under the poster for this episode. Like, oh, I listened to the episode and for question one, this was my own, response to it. Or this is the response that came to mind when I heard question one. All right, cool. So moving on to question two. What was the biggest shocker for you about life outside camp as a copper? Iris said, everybody believes you're suddenly rich because you're getting paid by the government, which is not so. And I relate with that heavy, because even employees would now be pricing you cheap, like all those your people, or when you're looking for a job, even they know you're a copper, they won't surprise you cheap because in their mind you're collecting one kind of big money. I mean, 33k is a large sum to some people, but I'm not suddenly rich because I'm collecting 33k. Mind yourself, I'm not suddenly rich because I'm collecting 33k. Timilani was like, the stress is unreal, and that's true. Stress of life after camp is unreal. Like, there were points during my service, I was like, is this really worth it? I wanted to, at a point in my life, I even wanted to just pack up and go back to Bels and meet my father. I'm like, I'm tired, I can't do this life thing anymore. Cynthia was like, nobody send your papa. Some people were rich kids, so their papa would actually still send them. But some people, like I said, camp is an incubatory period. So life after camp actually is when it will actually dawn on you that more. Life has actually started, and nobody, people have shit going on for them. So it's you to yourself, by yourself, for yourself. Glory said, life after camp as a copper was not easy. Trying to settle down in your new environment, getting to meet another set of new peeps, and going to your PPA every blessed day because you don't have a choice. And then the unproductive gathering, CDS, was so annoying. So let's dissect this response. She said, life outside camp as a copper was not easy. I second that. And she was like, trying to settle down in a new environment. Actually, that's true as well. I left the south where I know, where I'm comfortable with. I left Bios, I left Delta State, and I ended up in Lagos. It was a new environment for me. It was new. I remember the first time I entered Lagos, I was like, wow. Because it was so different from where I'm coming from. I was like, wow. And everything just looked brand new and shiny and grand in my eyes. So settling down in that new environment, because you meet new sets of people, make new sets of friends. It was, and then like I said, life has actually started. Your career, everything is starting from that point onwards. So it's new. You're kind of like a child that they take to like a candy shop, and you're just excited because like, oh, I want to buy new sweets. But yeah, and then she said, going to your PPA every blessed day. I think that was a problem too. I'm going to say Loki. Let me not jabber and talk before NYCHQ will see my video and then they will investigate me. But that too was a problem. Sometimes allow us to rest, because why do I have to go every day? Mm-hmm. And then the most unproductive gathering, CDS, it was so annoying, according to her. And I second that as well. Almost every couple can relate to that. CDS was like, if they drew up a list of unproductive graduates in the world, CDS would probably be like number two. And number one might be something even silly. Let me say silly before they come and arrest me. Something even more unproductive than CDS, probably. But that was Glory's response. Kelvin said, biggest shocker for him. My biggest shocker was to see people plan their life with 33K. Like, they were saying stuff like, I'll buy small gas, I'll buy small this. I had to ask my friend if he was serious. And he mentioned, he went on to state, Ado Ekiti is quite poor though. Seeing people survive on what me and my guys will spend on a night out shocks me though. Kelvin, how much do you spend on a night out? Can I be your guys so that people can spend the money on me too? Because, Anyways, yeah, people had to let you survive and plan their whole life on 33k. Some people, they're probably surviving on like money from their, in case their PPA should pay them, they probably survive on that one and then try to save their alawi. If they'll try to spend their alawi and save from whatever their PPA pays them. So people actually plan that an entire life on that money. So that's why I'm like, so some is everything, but to others is not really all that, and it's everybody's experience is different, so everybody's peer reviewed obviously be different. He said Ado Ekiti is quite poor though. I know that Kelvin is not in Ado Ekiti, so I don't know for him. Seeing people survive on what me and my guys will spend on a night out, again, I want to be part of you and your guys, but solely to participate in, you know, whatever you guys spend on, nothing much. Then Senior Man Chidi responded, nothing really. I was mostly home because of COVID. So question is, what was the biggest shocker for you about life outside camp? And Cinema Chidi said, nothing really. I was mostly home because of COVID. Now, if ever there was a time where I envied people in this country that had ties with the government, it was 2020 core members. They were just at home during lockdown, doing nothing, still collecting alawee on it, on top of their nothingness. They were just living la vida loca. And it was so upsetting that if not for COVID-19, I would have finished like school earlier and probably joined that group of people that would just collect money and just using it to clean my sweats, because I actually, they were not doing it, they were not going to PPA, nothing, just at home enjoying life. So that these are the only set of people tied to government that I ever envied at any point in my life, honestly. Then Mr. Dominic said, nobody respected core members. It's as if the scheme lost value. That was a shocker for him. I don't know what year Mr. Dominic served, but you know, in camp, they hype it all up, actually. And I think there's an amount of recognition given, because even when I was walking around randomly, like, it's not like anything grand happened, like it does happen for others when they wear their uniforms. But it's like, even when we try to cross the road with our core uniform, people randomly just stop and like, okay, pass. Like, once they see you in that uniform, you can see the look in their eyes and some people in their cars when they are reminiscing on what it felt like for them to be there. And I'm like, why are you looking at me with admiration? Please don't admire my suffering. And they'll just be looking at you like, well, don't look at me like that. Can you see I'm smiling? I'm suffering. You're looking at me and you're reminiscing on what it was like for you. But yeah, for some reason, because people have gone through it, when they see like other core members, younger people, they are like, back then, if I see core members, I used to pity them. There's no admiration in my eyes. It's all pity that you will see if you look into my eyes as a core member, because I know that it's not easy. So yeah, Mr. Dummy said nobody respected core members, and I don't know, maybe it was the state he served in, but indeed it may or may not have lost a bit of value, because the idea behind it was to promote intertribal relations. So South is not saying, oh, we're in the South, so we'll keep on staying in the South and marrying in the South and doing business in the South. East would not say the same thing, West would not say the same thing, North would not say the same thing. It was kind of like to at least promote intertribal relations and all of that. So that was the idea. And I think it started like after the civil war in Nigeria. That was the idea behind it. But now it has kind of lost its trajectory. The main goals have kind of, it's now kind of like just doing a course. You have to. There's a pride that was attached to being a core member and you're serving your country. Even if they post you to Sambisa, you want to go, because it was rated highly like that once upon a time. And now, I'm not saying it's not rated. I'm just saying it has gone down a bit. So I really support what Mr. Dominic said. Beverly said, I always knew life after camp would be hectic, so it wasn't a shocker for me. So next time, mine was chill. So I really have no comments on that one. Nonso said, can't call it a shocker as I expected it as I day streets. But the overwhelming sense of familiarity and respect Nigerians have once they sight that green khaki has to be it for me. Almost like a throwback to when the idea of service meant something more than what it is now. Free rides, queue jump, unnecessary hailing. Yeah. So yeah, Nonso just basically seconded what I said to Mr. Dominic's response. When they see you, there's a sense of familiarity and respect, because you know, we have to do this too, and during our time, they start reminiscing on what it felt like for them. So he also said he cannot call it a shocker, but the sight of familiarity Nigerians had was like something new for him. Then last response to this question is Daniel said, I'm now an adult, and that was the biggest shocker for him. It wasn't a shocker for me, because when I was living in Camp Alamo, this is it, life don't start. So it wasn't a shocker for me per se, but it was, I don't know the words to describe it. I wasn't shocked, because obviously I'm an adult now. But the extent to which I have to adult took me by surprise. You know, you think, life don't start, but the extent to which life will take you will actually surprise you. So that did surprise me. Now, question two is, what was the biggest shocker for you about life outside camp as a core member? So if you were once a core member and you've done this, or you're still serving, please give a response to this question on any of our social media platforms. We'll be looking forward to it. Third question is, what was your best CDS moment? Now, CDS, I don't know what CDS was, but I think I like to say my CDS was memorable and it was nice because my friend from school, we ended up in the same CDS, same day, sanitation CDS in Onibongbo, local government. So it was fun, at least there was a familiar face and we'll just sit down together and do everything together and struggle for signing and laugh at people and just, so it was fun. It made the days memorable and it made it like go by faster. For me, best CDS moment, it wasn't really a best, but it was cute. There is a, I think a registry in the local government. So despite all the fights, Twitter people to fight, men and women against each other every day, men has come, women has come, men are toilet, women are bathroom. Every Thursday, I see people getting married. They used to come and sign marriage certificates. Why people signing marriage certificates when you used to fight online every day? So it was cute seeing the couples. The brides would be so cute in their white dresses and the husbands would be cute too. So it was fun to watch. Ari said she never had a best CDS moment. According to her, quote unquote, I dreaded my CDS days. Me too. I did not like CDS. I found it so unnecessary. And at a point, I left. I was closer to my local government. I was around Sumulu when I started. My local government was like in Ikeja. I left and I moved to Aja. Because Nadia is house. I moved to Aja. So you can imagine what my own was like. Every Thursday, living from Aja to Onibongbo. I'm just pausing so it can sink in. For those who know Lagos, it can sink in. It was stressful. Like, I did not look forward to it. And me and my friend, Alari, whenever we just message each other like this, Afa, are you going? She said she's not going. I'm not going. Sometimes I'll be like, I'm not going. And then she'll be like, come on, me too, I'm not going. But yeah, I dreaded CDS. And I never enjoyed anyone. I'm not going to say I never enjoyed. There was no CDS that I actually enjoyed. Cynthia said, quote unquote, one time, one woman celebrated her birthday and shared stuff. So it's like a party that CDS day. I know that Cynthia saved years ago, so I don't know why she still remembers this party till now. Anyways, that was Cynthia's best CDS moment. Glory said, well, when we visited orphanage homes and the Party Girl projects, some people actually go all out in their CDS. They join groups, they are part of leadership, they are so involved. And I'm like, people have strength. I'm always exhausted. I did not have strength to, beyond participating, showing up at least and collecting signature, I could not do anything else. But some people were actually involved and they embarked on projects, led projects. And it's actually nice and it's cute to see. Big ups to all of you. Keep doing you. Keep doing it. But I wasn't the one. Like, if somebody else should plan, I can be a part of it. But like, spearheading stuff like that wasn't my thing. But Glory said, Party Girl project for her was memorable. All right. Kevin said, I don't attend CDS. I'm saying this out here now so that your local government will see this video and they will reach out to you on why you're not attending CDS. You will explain why you're not attending CDS after spending 33k on a night out with friends. No one. Senior Manchidi said he always went late. I didn't always go late. That's why I felt I was even coming from Aja sometimes. I used to get there like earlier than even like Lyre. That is coming from Ogba. I'll be saying Ikeja. I used to still get there before Alari. Alari is a chronic late comer. Anyways, Abie said, I was a member of... Abie really, he really participated. Let me read this thing out for you guys. I was a member of Drug-Free and Quality Control CDS, Umuahia North, Abia State. Abia said I just gained redemption. In fact, I was the PRO. We celebrated birthdays for each month during the last CDS meeting of the month. It was a nice bonding moment. Why would they bond with? Bonding people are not going to see again after the 1 year. They will not kill me. And he also said, I also anchor a game show tagged Who Wants to Be a Thousandaire? Questions are asked from the CDS lectures of the month. If you ask me any question about CDS, Abio, you were not the fun guy, clearly, because I'm sure nobody wanted to participate in this thing you were doing. Why are you asking me questions from CDS lectures? And those CDS lectures, I feel like they were sort of unnecessary because I did not get anything out of it. So I can't speak for everybody, but for me, it was unnecessary. I did not get anything out of it. I did not even pay attention because there's nothing that anybody told me that I didn't already know in life. And Abia finishes by saying, this was a way of making sure people are attentive during lectures since they'll win cash prizes during this segment, this section. So I don't know why you want us to pay attention during lectures. I spent 4 years in school learning, paying attention. I come out and you're now funding projects that will force me to pay attention when my brain is supposed to be marinating and resting after 4 years in school. That's why I keep saying that, Abia, you were not the fun guy. You were not the fun guy in your CDS, let me tell you. Mr. Dominic said, I don't even know, Mr. Dominic went there to do cool. So Dominic said, best CDS moment was the day we unseated batch A and B. Okay, the day we unseated batch A and B stole the presidential seat. I championed it because the A presidential candidate insulted someone thinking nothing can happen. Small CDS. You don't turn them to military regime. You don't they run coup. You swapping the batch that came before you. So prove a point, Mr. Dominic. Leadership qualities. Tell us about a time where you were in a leadership position and you had to take hard decisions. Is this one that you will see? Anyways, Kelechi was like, I don't have any in particular. I just love the course. I got to see a girl I liked. I propose that men and women start having separate CDS. In fact, separate camps. Because you people are either going to camp for women or going to CDS for women. When are people not thinking about women? When? Anyways, Timilani said CDS didn't hold. Okay, for Timilani, anytime CDS didn't hold was good news. And I relate to that. Almost anytime they would just say, no CDS. Ah, the joy that fills my soul. They're like, the unspeakable joy. I know that I can just rest and relax. So moving on, next question was worst CDS moments. And I love Iris's response. Iris said, quote unquote, every CDS day was the worst day of my life. It was like a weekly renewal of the weapons fashioned against me. Every CDS day was actually the worst day of my life too. I dreaded it, waking up, going there, coming back. And sometimes I was still into work after coming back, so you could tell I was not having it. Like, there was sometimes where, especially during the rainy season, we still had to go to CDS. Sometimes rain could beat person and my road is bad. So when when it rains heavily like this, water will start gathering in, not even some places, the whole streets, water will gather. To this particular CDS day, I came back tired, exhausted. I just wanted to go home and sleep. I got there, no bikes to take me inside the streets. Why? Apparently, I should be more sober when I said this. Apparently, they shot one of the bike men. Like, something happened and one was killed. So all of them went on strike. And these people, you people were there in the morning. Why did you not go on strike like the next day or something? Not like I was being insensitive, but I was exhausted. I just come from Ikeja to Aja. I had to trek. When I said this trek is not 10 minutes, so not 15 minutes. And the annoying part is there was water. I mean, I was trekking. Other people were trekking too, but whenever they looked at me, they'd be like, hey, yeah, sorry. You go soon, Richard. Sorry, Copa. Sorry, Bele. Because they could see that I was close. I was this close to crying. I had to take off my shoes, take off my socks, put my legs inside water. I almost stopped in the middle of the road and I started crying, but I actually made it home first. And then I took my bath and then I just slept it off. So CDS was always stressful for me because there was always one thing or the other happening or going on. Then Cynthia said, anytime it rains, there's no place to hide at Obiakpo local government area. So to the great LGI and co of Obiakpo local government area, they say people don't have where coppers can stay if it rains. So please, if you have now, good. But if you don't have, please try and do something. Glory said, what CDS moment for her? Going for CDS soaked in water because of rain, and I don't have a choice than to continue instead of going back home. And a car splashed me dirty water on my khaki. I for carry stone. Stone the person. Stone in window. Make it come down, make our two throw blow. After rain beats me, now splash water on me. Well, I will chase that car. I will chase that car. But she said that was her worst CDS moment for her. Next person is Senior Man Chidi. Senior Man Chidi said, going to Tafawa Balewa Square for one funny CDS where I went late as usual. but I had to trek from Obalende because I did not know how to locate the place. I have a faint idea of where Tafa Bolivar Square is, and I know where Obalende is. What kind of trek is that? How did you put yourself through? There was no bus, there was nothing. Okay, anyway, that was his own worst day. Mr. Dominic's worst serious experience was election training. Now, big ups to those who actually, you know, do that election training and stuff, because I would never, because the crimes against humanity committed against core members during elections is honestly overlooked and is glossed over. So I cannot even offer myself, because I know that they open it, you know, for extra money, people do it, and I totally understand, I get it, but it could go south. You could be in the wrong polling unit at the wrong time. Next thing you know is they'll be running hashtag on top of your head, justice for who, for me, that they sent to Lagos to come and do NYSC. You know, so I should go and join this one. That the last election that happened, see what was happening. Imagine I was in polling units. Don't give me some slaps. Give me some slaps. Hey, you rig the results. Slap me. You will not even need to shout at me 2 times. Immediately I see somebody with bottle. Collect everything fast. Let me hear people to announce the winner. So he was like, election training was his worst serious moment. Some do it, and initially it wasn't something to be feared. But right now, the way things are, people are actually genuinely scared. Family members are scared as well. So if you're going to do, like, if you're going to be involved, if you're going to be an agent doing elections as a core member, please just be careful, Sha. Just be careful. Beverly said, I've not had any worst CDS moments. Mind you, she's still serving. That's why she's sounding so love and light. I've not had any worst CDS moments. Just one time, after stressing to get to the venue, reaching there, they were almost done. I almost cried. Good thing I got to sign before they left. This signature thing, we can have an entire day's conversation about it. The way they always do shakara to sign this thing. If they say that, you were not here last week, come on, you're not here. No, can you come? Just sign it. Are you not happy you are seeing me now? Sign it. Kelechi was like, the day my shoe was seized because I wore the wrong shoe, I had to wait for hours before I got it. Jama that goes on in the local government. So much jama, like, they try to be so strict and enforce funny rules. Anyways, Daniel is the last response. Daniel's response is the last I go for this question. Daniel said, I had to go to work on that day and still go to CDS. Daniel, I just want you to know that you're not special. I did it multiple times too. And I can tell you for free, it wasn't nice, but I did it too. So fifth question I sent out was, what is one thing about NYC scheme outside camp you found totally unnecessary and would change if you had the power? Iris said, CDS is totally unnecessary because its purpose is being defeated. It was supposed to be a good cause, but I don't think anybody cares about that anymore. We just end up going there for attendance. So Iris is voting that we scrap CDS because it's not necessary anymore. People just go there to go and dump it and sign attendance, and that's all. And I think Loki, she has a point. People just go there because of the attendance. They're not going there looking forward to anything happening. The idea behind CDS is actually community development. Although in my CDS, we did do a thing or two to develop the community. We did go on cleaning projects, like they carry fine girl like me, go they pick dirty for gutter. If you see me, it's my big khaki trousers. I was picking nylon and dirty. Of course, sanitation CDS, we have to, as the name implies, so we have to keep up with the reputation about being sanitation CDS. And then I think there's another one we did. We went to a school to teach about recycling and all that, and we gave them waste baskets, basically keeping up with the sanitation reputation. So the next response I got was from Cynthia. Said, CDS, obviously. So question is, what was one thing about NYC scheme outside camp you found totally unnecessary and would change if you had the power? Cynthia said, CDS, obviously. So that's another vote against CDS. Wherever NYC people are, all people are watching this. Glory said, CDS, again. It's really unnecessary and a waste of time because you just go there for nothing. Like I said, it has already been ranked like top three most unproductive gatherings in the world. Honestly, and I think, like, the heart is there. I mean, they're in the right place with the idea behind CDS. is one. So people are actually, they're actually keeping tabs. The thing is, when you are a core member, you're considered as government property. So, like it or not, they actually have to account for you. They have to account for you, where you are, whether you're doing what they told you to do and all that. So I kind of get the idea behind wanting us to come every week. So somebody will not go and travel, go on a journey that was not approved, and then something will happen to you and federal government has to be held liable because you're the property at the time. And also, some people might be like wayward, no one to go to the PA, blah blah blah. So like CDS was kind of like a way of keeping everybody in check. So I get the idea. And then the core of it is, like I said, community development. But it has now turned into a way for this some of these local government inspectors to fulfill their dumb kinks and their punishment kinks, because it's wickedness some of them used to do. But truth be told, it's really not as necessary as they make it look. Kevin said, honestly, it should be optional. Is only sustained because of cheap labor. Else, why would people like INEC and MPC pay 15k to be ad hoc staff? Copper should be paid at least 100k. Bam! I support you. Copper should be paid at least 100k so they can also develop and put it in their host communities. Like I said, the idea behind this CDS thing was actually community development. So, is it from... I've not developed myself with 33k. Is it my community I want to develop? You're supposed to make an impact in the community you find yourself. I've not made an impact in my life with 3K. If you can increase the money, I can now budget for impacting the society around me. But I've not impacted myself with that money. So I strongly support him. 100K. When they start paying 100K, in fact, they should call all of us that took 3K before. Let's come and redo it and collect our 100K. But he mentioned something else that is only sustained because of cheap labor. And that's one thing we have to actually agree on. Most there are schools that don't even bother with getting staff anymore because they know that every year they are sure that they'll get a renewal of core members. So, and it's not healthy for the children, because today this year you meet this person and they will teach and you probably like the teacher. Next year is a different core member that's coming to teach. So it's actually sustained at this point because of cheap labor. People can, it's kind of like the age of consent. It's kind of like the age of consent. The only reason why people even try to pay a decent amount is because they cannot go lower. Even the whole Alawi thing is because minimum wage puts a minimum wage to it, so they cannot go lower. But if they could, they would. If they could, they would. So Kevin believes it should be scrapped because of that, and that it should be optional. So you choose to go to CDS or you don't go at all. Abia said monthly clearance. It can be exhausting. You know some Nigerians can do anything in an orderly manner. We literally have to push our way through to thumbprint. I think it's really unnecessary. Now, I think this is on the side of the core members themselves, because it can get rowdy. When they will say, okay, buddy, line up in a straight line. So one by one, we'll go inside to thumbprint. You will see somebody that just came. We've been here since 9 a.m. This is 2 p.m. You are just coming from only God knows where. You will not come and enter front of the line, or you want to be pushing. Like, it can get really rowdy, and that's the fault of the core members themselves. The whole idea of even keeping us there to 2, it doesn't make sense. Because apparently CDS is meant to be like, I think the whole day. I think it's meant to be like, is it 5 p.m. or so? So some of these LGIs, we are not doing anything there. But because they cannot let you go, they are the new pharaohs, they cannot let you go. They'll refuse to sign so everybody can go home. They'll keep it there. So it does get really rowdy and it can be exhausting. But Abia said they should scrap monthly clearance. I don't think they should scrap monthly clearance. I think they should scrap regular CDS and leave only monthly clearance. Another thing that is so, they say it's so matter of factly and you think is something important, is that general CDS. Like 2/10 would not recommend, because nothing is even happening there. It's just more people to fight to get to the front to collect your own signature. Do not recommend. I think they should scrap every other week and just leave like only that once a month. Let's go for our monthly clearance and go home. All right. Mr. Dominic said one thing he would change about NYC scheme outside is pushing graduates to Nigerian primary schools to teach when they have no teaching experience. Core members should be taken to PPAs where their profession is practiced. this is a conversation people don't often have. Because when they will talk about, oh, PPA, PPA, everybody automatically thinks school. Except you have, like, maybe you have Connect or you have somewhere already waiting for you outside that can give you a request letter. You just know you are going to teach. Somebody like me that went to school to read English, they're telling me, I will this, you can work everywhere. I will work in primary and secondary school. That's the everywhere I'll be working. So, yeah, people should be given, like, PPAs that align with whatever they studied or their profession. But for somebody like me, I cannot even make this argument because when I'm done arguing, they still take me to school with my English to go and teach people English language and literature. So, there's still no difference for me. But I see sense in what he said. You're just pushing everybody to go and teach because some of these government schools, they enjoy having like cheaper labor, so they don't really have to pay well, blah blah. So some people actually wait for all these core members to come, and teaching is kind of like looked down on, but teaching in itself is a profession, is a skill. So why did I go to school to study like organic chemistry? You're bringing me to come and teach chemistry. I didn't study how to teach. It's a skill on its own. It's a profession, and with little to no training, they just bring you to come and just teach because you're a core member. Anyways, Beverly said this reposting, that's redeployment thing. Them they stress people, children are big. NYC should just let us choose where we want to avoid all these reposting. And that's true. But then if there are people to pick like what state they want to go to, people would select states that they are familiar with or states they know. That's why they try to swap people. So there's like intertribal relations and all. So you cannot say, okay, I was born and bred in Bielsa and I've never traveled as an educated person. I've never left Bielsa my whole life. So if you're going for NYC, they might take you somewhere far, like take you somewhere new so at least you can experience another part of Nigeria. Do you get? So I think that's why they hold it in their hands. So they are the only ones in charge of it. So I don't think they'll ever let people pick where they want to go to because everybody will actually pick choice places. Yeah, so I don't think they'll ever let people pick where they want to go to, but Beverly said that's what she wants them to do. Nonso said this CDS stuff is totally unnecessary. I mean, what community am I developing? Do I look like Ijoba or a minor convict? SMH. I don't know what an Ijoba is, but the minor convict statement was actually funny because it's actually convicts that are not those people that they give community development projects to work on. Some in prison, some outside prison, and they are doing all those probation, so they have to do like community service. So I get what he's saying. So he's saying the CDS stuff is totally unnecessary. Kelechi said CDS actually multi-clearance is enough, and that's actually what I said too. Timileyin said, why is PPA by force? It's true. Like if we dip it, why do I need to have a place of primary assignment? Can't I just stay at home and collect the 3K? Like, we all know I'm a core member. I'm already coming for CDS. What more do you want? Why is it by force to have a PPA, to work somewhere, to go somewhere and actually work? That's the question we should be asking. So last question for this episode is, give a word of advice to couples who are fresh out of camp. Iris says, be prepared because NYC will show you the worst. Similarly said, run and before you come out camp. I don't know what he meant by that. So I'm going to assume he's either talking about PPA or what state you're deployed to. I don't know what he was referring to there. So he just said, run and before you come out camp. Cynthia said, you go there, all right. Also, make sure you don't teach by all means necessary to serve. Cynthia said, you go there, all right. Also, make sure you don't teach by all means necessary to serve in a company and not that nonsense primary school thing. So I think what she's trying to say is, ensure you don't teach no matter what happens. Don't let them take you to a school. Just look for a company and not that primary school thing. That's most people's sentiments, actually. But not everybody's lucky enough to find a company to work in. Glory said, Omo, don't go performing good copa in your PPA. They'll just leave all the work for you and avoid attending CDS all the time. Yeah, I think CDS, it has a percentage for attendance. I think it's like 90%. So I think me and Larry that time, we used to just try and get away with it. If we go like three Thursdays, we'll not go like the last Thursday or a Thursday in the middle. So we know that at every point we're having our, it's only like 1 week here, 1 week there that's missing. But yeah, try not to go every time. Yourself, if you don't try, rest. She also said, don't be forming good copa in your PPA. Honestly, sometimes it's not like you're a nasty person, but the way to avoid nonsense is to show that you don't take nonsense. So shine your eye, especially if they push you to, like, I know that some people, they actually look for retain is it retainment? They're actually looking forward to be retained after the service year, so they kind of form good boy, good girl. Nobody's saying don't be a good boy or good girl, but like, don't go and be forming mumu, because they would use you, and at the end of the day, there's no guarantee they would retain you, because you're not the first coming that they've had. You will not be the last. So nigga, mind your speech and wise up. Kevin said if you're fresh out of camp, try as much as possible to network, be social, and try to meet the right people. Don't run with the wrong crowd. Some people would never take office jobs. If it's your fault, then by all means take it. I wish I was very sociable. I wouldn't be here replying any. I would have been successful and somewhere in Paris, vacationing with the love of my life. So you are telling me that the only people that are not successful that used to reply to me, Abby? One day, I will get you here. Like, I will bring it to this podcast and I'll remind you of this particular statement. So it's only people that are not successful that used to respond to me, Abby? Victor, no one. But yeah, if you're fresh out of camp, try as much as possible to network. Networking, I don't believe in the idea of hyper-selling yourself, always trying to network, but it can be good. You don't know what someone somewhere or a good word can do for you. So yeah, network, be social, try to meet the right people. Don't go and meet just about anybody. Don't run with the wrong crowd. This Kevin that is saying don't run with the wrong crowd, they've been doing PPA inside all the clubs and outlets in this Lagos since they entered this state. I've been seeing him and Hedis just been doing that. He's inside club, they used to do their own PPAO. Meanwhile, he's in the wrong with the wrong crowd. Some people would never take office jobs, but if it's your fault, by all means, take it. So that's just his own advice. Cineman Chidi said, try to make the best out of your service here. No matter what, don't let your location limit you. What if I did sell for Bayesa? What if I did something like Nasarawa? It's already a limitation. No offense to Bayesans. No offense to people in Nasarawa, but some places are not. It's just advice. It's somehow if you're in some kind of places, like, there are some places you go to and you just know that you might be forgotten by even your friends, because maybe everybody that you know that in Abia or Enugu or Lagos or Rivers, and you went to Nasarawa. Lafia. To do what? You went to Bayasa. Inside Amasoma. To do what? And you are saying I should not let the location limit me. The location has limits me already. There's already a limit to what I can do with my life if I'm in Bayasa. So, but I do get the idea. Still try to make the best of it. Don't go and be sulking the whole year. It's an entire year of your life. You don't want it to be in a way that you don't have any single nice, memorable thing that happened during the entire year. So please, try and enjoy yourself forever. Even if you're in Nasarawa or Bayelsa, enjoy yourself. It's fisherman soup. Follow fine hijab women or big bum. Just, or fine hijab men, because they are black and they serve you. Follow fine hijab men. So, Sekibo said, NYC is fun depending on where they post you, sha. Just have enough fun and make friends. Some of you can also find life partners. Make it not be like said the 1 year waste. Sekibo is speaking from a place of, I've been there before. He wasted his own 1 year. Don't be like Sekibo. Use your own 1 year to find life partner. If you don't see OYO, you can try again. You can keep trying after like your NYC. Yeah, but people do get married. I heard that those are just going to propose to each other inside camp after knowing each other for 3 weeks. I heard that if core members do like get engaged during their service year, I think the government would support in a way towards the marriage. So financially, so yeah. But he did say what I said. NYC can be fun depending on where they post you. They can post you to so a nice state and post inside one village where the people are even struggling to speak pidgin. You'll not be doing translator. You will turn to a sign language tutor. You'll be using hand to navigate. Me, come, go. So sometimes it can be very stressful. But yeah, just have fun, make friends. There'll be other core members there, so make friends. Don't be a loner. And yeah, find a life partner if you can. Me, I did not see anybody share, so my own 1 year don't waste. What am I going to do like this? I will lie it. Last response. Okay, this is not the last response. But Mr. Dominic said, live your life to the fullest. Use the period to work on your CV. Avoid paying for unnecessary certifications. When you get a job, you can improve your certificates. Eat well and try to save a token. I think he meant like a ton, but let's say a token. Okay. So live your life to the fullest. Use the period to work on your CV. Actually, your career, every part of your life has actually started after you leave camp. So it could help your career to try and work on your CV within your service year. Avoid paying for necessary certifications. In my CDS, like this, they always bring one new person or one other person to come and talk about, oh, this certification, how it will help you in life, you will be this, you'll be that, you'll be any 1 million. Meanwhile, the person should all live up front. Hey, I'm not looking at anybody, but you get what I'm saying? We've all seen that kind of thing before. But don't jump on everything, every bandwagon, and start spending your money that you don't have on different certifications because they were sold to you and they're telling you that, oh, life after a camp is very hard to get a job. Don't let them use fear mongering on you to make you spend all your money on unnecessary certifications that will not be useful afterwards. When you get a job, you can improve on your certificates. Yes, definitely. You get a job, you know you're already working and learning. It's better than learning and nothing. So the last sentence, I really like it. Eat well. Because the way this country they go now. Now who don't chop, go get stamina to withstand. Eat well. CDS is, and the whole service here is stressful. You never chop, you go faint for road. So as much as possible, eat well. Try the chop. Anything will happen, try chop first. As a core member, try chop. Anyways, he said try to save. You might not be able to save plenty out of it though. This episode is getting really long. It's almost like an hour. You might not be able to save plenty out of it though, but still try to save something. Even if it's 2K or 3K, save something. Beverly said, open your eyes. Your NYC journey is about to become hectic and bloody once you leave camp, so shine your eye. Nonso said, where you serve, company or state, could help with the trajectory of your career. Don't be nonchalant about it. Yeah, don't be like, oh, anywhere they post me. Hustle, may go better, please, because it could make or mar your career. So your service year could be like the start of your career, or it could be just an extra year that you've already, it was once you're done with that year, that's why you don't have to start your career after the NYC. So like what he said, where you serve could help with your career, so take it serious. Kelechi said, be close to your CDS president and coordinator. I got away with a lot of things that other people didn't. You see all these kind of people, just kind of bad things. Now bad things the one they do, now why you want to get away with a lot of things? But it's good to share no people there, because some favors, sometimes some things could work in your favor simply because you know one or two people there. I'm not saying go there and be farms with anybody and be sweet talking to anybody and be doing high service. So, but like, it's good to like know one or two people that you could reach out to for information. Daniel said, focus on building your career even from your NYC year. I don't even know why everybody's talking about career. What if I want to do prostitution after? No advice for that one. What if I want to do any other thing with my life? Career. What is it? It's so much pressure. I'm under pressure. Then I think, okay, that was the last response. So focus on building your career even from your NYSC year, because like Nonso said, it could help the trajectory of your career. So that brings us to the end of all the responses, all the questions. So all 5 questions have been asked. So it's time to round up this episode because it's already getting very long. Alright, so if you enjoyed the episode, please slide into my DM. Let me know. If you find any of the responses particularly interesting, tell me. I can help you relay the information to the owner of the response. I think I'll put up these questions on our social media platform. So in case you did not even send your response to me, you can still answer in like comment sections. Or you can come into my DMs, just tell me so I can get a good laugh. Because I want to laugh. My videographer is looking at me funny. And I don't know why he's looking at me like that. Anyways, I want to say a big thank you to everybody who has listened to this point. If you're still listening, please don't forget to follow the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to it on. Now for those of you watching, like, subscribe, follow, turn on post notifications, share, comment, do everything, because YouTube people have the most work, while the people that are listening, they probably just have to listen and maybe follow the podcast. So don't forget that we're still looking for guests on the podcast. Not like we're looking for sharp, but if people don't come, it will still be only me that will stay and talk from morning to night and people will listen. But if you would love to chat with me, if you're in Lagos, so only people that are in Lagos, you can reach out to me and I will tell you how to go about it. Now, I do have plans to be able to do it like even with people who are not in Lagos, but let's start with the Lagos people first, and then towards the end of the year, maybe can I incorporate those of you that are in less known places like Bayelsa. I don't know why I stopped suffering in my hands. For fact, I'm from Bayelsa, so I think I have every right to slander them. So people that are from Bayelsa, I will not think of how to impress you guys and your bad network in the podcast episodes. But anyways, that brings us to the end of this episode. It's more than an hour already, and I genuinely hope people listen to this point. But shout out to all of you that are listening. Shout out to all of you that enjoyed it. Please don't forget to let me know if you did enjoy the episode. Until next time. Also, this is the end of this NYC series, so the next episode is going to be something entirely different. But yeah, until next time, all my love. Bye.